or call 617-266-6710.
And Greenport Forum presents Plenitude, the Path to a Small-Scale, Ecologically Light Economy, a talk by Juliet Shore, next Tuesday at 7 p.m. in Cambridge. A best-selling author, economist, and professor at Boston College, Juliet Shore presents a revolutionary strategy for transitioning toward a richer, more balanced life. The economic downturn and the ecological crisis both lead to scarcity. Our debt-financed consumer culture is no longer an option that our households or planet can afford. Shore's latest book, called Plenitude, is a roadmap for the next two decades. She's encouraging us to value the gifts of nature, community, intelligence, and time to create a world of wealth and well-being. That's next Tuesday at 7 p.m. in the Livable Streets office at 100 Sydney Street in Cambridge, sponsored by I forget who it's sponsored by, but anyway, it's part of the Greenport Forum.
And Juliet Shore will also speak at the Ethical Society of Boston this Sunday morning, September 19th, on the subject of Plenitude, Living Rich on a Troubled Planet. The program starts at 10:30 a.m. in the Spiegel Auditorium, 56 Brattle Street in Harvard Square. It's free and open to the public. Coffee and discussion to follow. For further information, call 617-739-9050 or visit bostonethical.org.
Perfect timing. It's 6:59 p.m. and the views and opinions that have been presented on this program have been those of the participants and not necessarily the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And now we should let the human beings come in. Come in, humans, come in. Meanwhile, we'll have many, many pianos as you prepare yourself for Music for Human Beings coming up next. I intend to be here next week. I hope you will be too, but if you can't, WMBR.org, visit the archives and see what you've been missing. Stay tuned. Be well. You're listening to WMBR Cambridge.
Yes, marhaban to you. I'm a Dr. Jalis Sakran for Music for Human, asking you this evening, is this a dream? How could this be real? Because this evening I am here with so many of my friends and other people. Let us begin by welcoming Aurora, vocal specialist and therapist. Aurora, welcome.
Thank you for having me on the show again. And indeed, we are always with our friends. But here we are joined physically as well as spiritually.
Indeed. Indeed, friendship does give us these bonds. We also welcome Peace Child Peter back, who is, I think, beyond the glass. Peter, are you with us?
I believe his soul is transcending another plane.
We hear that groaning as the soul's battle to be witnessed. We also welcome Zorro, the numerologist. Zorro, welcome.
Welcome. I find it interesting you mentioned these dreams. These dreams, it's interesting. My last few days have been quite haunted by my dreams. Every night, actually, I go to sleep and I fear my dreams, because in my dreams all my goals are accomplished. All things I desire are mine, and I don't wish to live my life haunted by this, because each morning I wake up and I don't want to leave the dreams. It's somewhat disturbing.
But how dissatisfying it must be to feel that around you there are no more challenges, that there is no more drive, that everything you will accomplish is already done.
Indeed, and I find it most frightening that when I am awake, I don't want to dream, and when I'm dreaming, I don't want to wake up.
Of course, there are different attitudes in each style of being. When you dream, your subconscious, your inner self, is allowed to explode and to show you things about yourself, about your past, to link you with those that you cannot remember.
Indeed, and I think maybe part of my problem is that I am almost defining my goals and my desires by those dreams.
Well, speaking of dreams, I think the engineer is signaling to me that the battle has been successfully
won.
Hello?
Peace Child Peter, welcome.
Thank you.
Peace Child Peter, for those who are unfamiliar with him, is a tea master.
Well, I think you flatter me a little bit much.
Was especially well known for a custom red tea that bears his name.
Yeah, I like the tea. It's become a passion of mine. I don't know if I really feel as though I have earned this title of Tea Master. I've been having musings with my partner, actually. Dave, are you connected in there?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm here for you.
Thanks.
Dave, welcome.
Thank you.
And Dave, in addition to being the partner of Peace Child Peter, do you also have a spiritual enterprise? Beyond obviously being very good-spirited.
I'm here for support. I'm here for support for my friends, my family, and especially my partner.
I think that's a very good purpose in life, to support others.
Indeed, without support, we could not lie on our beds, or sit on our chairs, or even walk in our shoes.
Yeah, that's true, but I've been wondering, I've been thinking about this sort of thing lately, this idea of sort of purpose, and if your purpose is only to support, let me play devil's advocate and say, isn't that sort of, imagine everyone's purpose was just to support, then what kind of life would that be?
But there must be balance in all things.
Yeah, so where's the balance?
But not everyone is a support.
I'm saying, what if everyone were a support? What's the greater cause that we're...
Well, I think that the world might have more unity to it in that respect. Yes?
Do you mean, like, that there... It can't be the case that everyone has... that everyone fills this role of support?
I mean that as it stands, there are victims, people who are victims of no support, who are hurt by this lack of supportive roles in our world today.
Yeah.
Well, music for human beings in a very real way is also only a support, and if you would like to support and be supported by Music for Human, then please call and join us at 617-253-8810. Caller, marhaban.
Hello?
Yes, caller, welcome.
Hey, I was actually listening just now, and I had an answer to Pete's question. I'm a neurobiologist, that's why I study, and I think the larger purpose, if everyone is a supporter, we all are supporters of a larger cause, and that's to make love to the universe as a whole and in its parts, particularly the really cute, like, pretty drunk girls at Great Scott last night. So I think that's what everyone should be looking towards, as sort of something to do to contribute.
And that is acting as a support, or being supported
as
by...
a support, exactly. Sort of like going, like, hoe fishing. No, I'll think of a sexier term.
Well, I think the caller makes an excellent point, actually, that this purpose of support that we have, it does, he seemed to be saying, it makes us happier all around it, and that happiness in itself is worthy of being the higher cause.
Indeed, the causes are higher and higher, especially as one support piles upon another. And here to support all of us and to be supported by all of us, of course, is Erno, the master of potions. Erno, welcome.
As always, thank you for having me back. I'm always grateful for the opportunity to spread news of my work outside of my potion laboratory.
And tell us a little bit about that for the listeners who are unfamiliar with the potion literature.
Well, for instance, a lot of people think that the work of potions is more romantic than it actually is. It's a wonderful job and a wonderful field to be a part of. But in fact, even the most contemporary of drinks could become potions if made right, and if your if your mind is in the right place. For instance, the idea of talking about tea today excites me very much, because tea, in a way, can be a potion for almost all of us.
You know, I agree with that, actually. I've thought that for a time now, which is part of the reason I feel as though I'm not yet worthy of the title of master. Because I feel as though the more I learn, the more I realize that I don't know anything.
I feel the same way almost every day, friend. They call me the master of potions, but I really only consider myself an apprentice of potions at most.
Exactly.
But is this not ultimate wisdom, to understand your limitations?
I believe there is actually a verse from the Tao Te Ching: the more I learn, the less I know.
No, Aurora, I think what you're saying there is pretty valid, actually. I agree with that.
Let's bring another voice into the circle. Caller, welcome.
Namaste.
Marhaban. Is that Arthur with us?
Yeah.
Arthur, man. It's good to hear you again.
Yeah, good to hear. I'm here in Pittsburgh. It's the latest in my travels.
Oh.
It's a fascinating place. Lots of buildings connected by sky bridges on big hills. And there's a citadel of learning right in the middle of town, kind of right up in the sky.
Ah, a citadel of learning. The very best of citadels.
And Arthur, this is so wonderful, because we are just talking now about how one person can act as a support to each other, much as the sky bridge acts as a support for the person who is walking through it.
Yeah, for transportation, for convenience.
Precisely. And so I think in a similar way, a spiritually healthy person can serve to transport a person's thoughts from the imaginary to the realistic,
uh-huh,
and to the tangible.
From the mental to the physical.
Precisely.
Yeah.
From the, and also from the real to the imaginary.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times your support for somebody is very real. It's inside of you, but you need to manifest it, you know. And sometimes it's hard to realize when you do and when you don't. And it is a two-way road. Sometimes you need to take what's outside and put it in.
I love this image, because this brings us away from the thought of the support, because, as you say, it is one person supporting and being supported by another.
Uh-huh.
Whereas the
the
bridge, it is a selfish thing, in a way, or a selfless thing.
I think the bridge makes an interesting allegory, of the support. You have both sides, of course, but equally they both contribute to the keystone, which is very much mutual between the two objects.
Yeah, I was also going to say it's kind of like a wireless mesh network. You know, there's no supporter and supportee. Everybody's contributing and routing and, you know, resonating.
It's so beautiful to see so many people, so many buildings set up as equals and reaching out to one another. And
uh-huh,
I believe this is something we need to do more in our daily lives, to reach out and re-actualize that connection that actually exists between each of us that we ignore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is the only way that we as humans can walk as if in the sky.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed around here in the Boston area, same sorts of things, you know. It's got to be a product of the weather, man, to support this hardship that we're enduring. Perhaps in the same way that the buildings support each other with these walkways connecting them because of the hardship of the weather, perhaps in the same way, we have a sort of a need to support one another, to deal with this hardship of life, you know? No, man?
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, it reminds me of the Gaia principle a little bit, just the thought that every organism on the planet might in fact be connected, might be one, not just in a sense, but physically. And the key is mushroom mycelium, this planet-wide network of mushrooms connecting everything together. And there's actually studies that show trees in a forest transferring energy between each other using this entirely separate organism, this mushroom network, right? So one tree is not doing so well. The other one pumps that back up by sending energy through the mushroom roots.
Yeah, that's interesting. I have heard of the aspen trees, which also form a similar network, but I had not heard of this mushroom network.
Yeah, it's one of the key arguments in this Gaia theory.
Yes, this I know some, that all organisms, as you say, are really contributing to the one organism, which is Earth.
Connected.
Yeah. Now, this brings to my mind a thought which I have had, which is when one begins to explore a new field, to try to understand something in nature or in science or in any of those things, at first the subject seems disconnected. The different impulses seem to be unrelated. And then as the knowledge grows, everything connects once more in this beautiful sphere of knowledge.
Yes. I was going to say it's a little bit like an avatar, except without all the bells and whistles.
Well, perhaps the human network that we all form, it may be less physical than that presented in Avatar, but by no means is it any less worthy of consideration.
And to me, a very important function that is served by others, by people that I regard as supporters, is to function, to ground me, to hold me to earth, because I know that the reality that I am experiencing is only a function of a chemical and electrical storm in my brain. And there is no reason that it should be real.
Well, I mean, as far as everything being connected, I mean, it transcends from the living to just physical laws. I mean, I remember just being blown away the first time I discovered that electricity and magnetism were one and the same, just different reflections, different rotations of the same coin, right?
Yes. This is a lesson from physics, I believe.
Physics, special relativity, it all ties together.
But I think there is a danger in this network which we form, and if I may borrow a myth from the Christian tradition of the Tower of Babel, I believe, a Brahmic tradition, I suppose. You know, if everything becomes too centralized, too much knowledge is gained, it may collapse upon itself.
Yes. Yeah, that makes total sense.
And again, to pull it back to the physics, the laws of entropy and such do dictate that such a collapse is imminent in the present of too much organization.
Too much information.
Yes.
In my own mind, more than information, a critical part of not being disturbed by the possibility of not existing is to not panic. It ultimately
remain calm.
Indeed, because there is a realization which is the neighbor of this panic that one may not exist, and that realization is that would one's behavior change if one were being watched or not being watched? or existing or otherwise, and it is a simple question of integrity. Let's bring another voice in to share this confusion. The number is 617-253-8810 if you'd like to join. Caller 2, marhaban.
Hello?
Welcome, caller.
Hi,
I have a question for you guys.
Yes?
My wife, Liz, she's been trying to harness energy from the sun every morning for, like, a breakfast, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, unnatural, or...?
The sun is such a beautiful form of energy. The sun has brought us life. It has nurtured us from birth, really, and before. And so your wife is doing what all of us have done, what the green leaves of the tree are doing.
Indeed, caller, and I think more generally, if you eat cornflakes, then you are harnessing the power of the sun for your breakfast.
Yes.
And also the power of corn.
Yes,
indeed.
So in what way does your wife harness the solar power for her food?
She goes out to the yard every morning and she just meditates and takes in the sun, I guess.
So in a very real way, in a more direct way.
Yeah.
And how does this make her feel?
It makes her feel great. She looks real good, and she seems happy.
And I would say that if this technique is working for her, then it's perfectly natural, and it's a very, very happy thing.
And doesn't this, again, just point to the interconnectedness of the world, how all of us are really, really children of the sun?
Caller, can you tell me why... Or share with me why perhaps this has caused you concern, this practice. Caller?
I was just like concerned to make sure she wasn't just seeing if this was real or she was just making it up.
Well, in my mind, there are really only two considerations. One is the outcome, and the other is the basis for the practice, because if this may cause some sort of distress later, one finds that one has been practicing some belief that is rooted in some shamanic or demonic practice. But as long as she is focused herself on the outcome, and the outcome is a positive one, I do not see any harm.
Okay.
In the practice.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you, caller, for joining us and for listening.
Yeah.
And Arthur, are you still there with us? I think we may have lost Arthur. Arthur? Well, if anyone else would like to join, the number to do so is 617-253-8810. Caller 3, marhaban.
Hi, sorry I got cut off. I had another question for you, a little less related, but can I ask the question?
Please do so.
You know how when you're making out with a girl sometimes, she can read your mind, and you can kind of read her thoughts too? How do you stop that from happening, or is there a way to... make it so that she can't read your thoughts, but
I have a question actually, which is what purpose should this be stopped?
This is a deep and spiritual, emotional, intimate connection that you have formed.
Mm-hmm.
So why the concern, caller?
Yeah, man.
Well, what if you're thinking? You just keep thinking about how you're not going to call her. Can't stop thinking about it.
Caller, I think I would start with curing those thoughts. Let's bring another voice in to share this confusion. Caller, welcome.
Yes, hello. How are you guys doing tonight?
Welcome, caller. We are well.
Good. I was interested. Somebody called about harvesting the sun's energy, their wife, I think. And I'm very interested in that. I wonder, is it true nourishment you receive this way, or is it, you know, is it more of a metaphysical type of feeling?
Now, caller, this really depends on your definition of true. If you are dealing with pure physicality, actually, you can really influence your hormone cycles. You can improve your vitamin D absorption, which really affects how your body acts. So being in the sunlight can be incredibly healthy.
So there are genuine physical consequences.
So there are techniques that one can use to, other than just being in the sun, but to truly harness that
to,
power.
To bask, I believe it is said.
Basking, yes, okay. I mean, I have sensitive skin, though, to the burning of the sun.
I as well, caller, but I think that some amount is good.
And also, caller, you must remember that the sensitivity of your skin can be alleviated by topical creams, by rubbing yourself with things like aloe, but that you must remember that your absorption is so great that you must limit your time in the sun.
Yes, of course, even with the most contemporary of potions, you should limit your time, but perhaps if you augment your solar meditation with, for instance, another type of potion, I would like to bring in Pete and Dave, maybe a certain type of tea could augment the meditation in a way that could be both physical and metaphysical.
This, I think, is true, actually, yes. It, I know I keep harping on it, but my red tea is really the sort of thing that can get that going.
I don't think it's a harp at all, except perhaps that it is light, airy, and angelic.
Perhaps even some chamomile. Chamomile is non-caffeinated. It won't stimulate you in any way.
This is interesting, however. Wouldn't you be blocking your pores by adding these chemicals to, in a sense, creating this blockage or interference or barrier, yes, from the sun's rays?
Of course, it depends on what you're putting in your system, caller. For instance, if you were drinking something less healthy for you, something determined to not be as good as organic for you, then yes, that could happen. But with the right combination of ingredients, the right potion, if you will, it could be a good thing to do during a meditation.
What is a good resource for somebody like me? Do you have a website or something?
Well,
these potions.
For potions in general, I think that, and this is good for anyone that would like to contact us, our website is musicforhumanbeings.com, and our email address is humans@wmbr.org. Let's bring another voice in to join us. Caller 9, marhaban.
Hello?
Yes, caller, thank you for your patience.
I would like to ask one more question.
Please.
I'm the previous caller. I want to know about the cornflakes.
Yes.
I mean, my bad, the cornflakes. Yeah, it was the cornflakes. Should those be just like regular ones you find at the store, or anything special?
Caller, any cereal that you find in the store, any substance, any nourishment has been affected by the sun, and that is the point.
Yeah, very few. So there are life forms, caller, that have been found being fed energy by geothermal means, but realize that every other form of energy on the planet is ultimately a solar thing. Even the movement of water from the top of a mountain down, the flowing of the river, is also due to solar power. So really any food that you were to consume has been, and really any energy that you find on the earth, aside from material energies like nuclear or geothermal,
cosmic rays,
precisely these are non-solar, but the things that we are accustomed to using commonly are ultimately solar. Hence, I think your wife's fascination with the sun.
I think the bottom line is if you prefer a certain cornflake, whole wheat, perhaps, you should have it.
Okay, I think I'll try that. I'm going to head to the store now and pick up some cornflake.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us, caller.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And is our other caller still there? So it seems we have two lines available, and if anyone would like to join us, it's once again 617-253-8810. Caller, welcome. Caller?
Hello?
Yes, caller.
Hi, I have a question that has to do with the mushrooms that the guy was talking about before.
Yes.
What do you think that you can do to utilize the use of psychedelic mushrooms and or cannabis into your meditation schedule?
Well, I believe this is somewhat of a separate question, but perhaps we can address it.
Well, I mean, in my mind, what Zorro was mentioning before regarding mushrooms was the mushrooms as being part of a network for exchanging information and energy from one life form to another. So I'm not sure how consuming the mushroom would make you a part of this network any more than consuming a tomato would have you meditate and connect with the original plant itself, which it does, I think, in some way.
Perhaps an existential sense.
Precisely, but I think in no more sense than that, really. And the fact that the mushroom is psychedelic, as you say, so in other words, it would have a hallucinogenic effect, I think does not enhance the meditative effect.
Exactly. There are some people who, when they hear the word New Age, they think that our meditative practices must rely on illegal substances, and that is definitely not the case. When you are in charge of your meditation, when you are in full control and allowing yourself to be released, that is when you can really achieve the
most. I totally agree with Aurora here. I've been to several different countries in which the substances that you mentioned are not illegal, as they are here, which I think bears mentioning right now. And I have tried both of these, and in these countries, and they really detracted from my meditative experience. Now, I'm not sure if that was a personal thing, that maybe, who knows, maybe you're the kind of guy that would really get something good out of it, a deeper experience. But I have been meditating with Dave, actually, for, what, 20 years or so now?
Yes, 22, I believe.
Yeah, 22 years, and, well, it's just, I admit, perhaps it's because we have so much practice, we can just get into this very good state that substances, mind-altering substances, really tend to detract from, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Well, now, in my opinion, I think that it can, these substances can play a part, and in many cultures they do. It is common to be chewing or otherwise consuming various substances in order to enter a trance-like state.
Yes, I believe it is definitely a Native American practice of some sort.
Yes, that's true.
For example, but you know, I hesitate to say that it is a forbidden aspect of the practice, but certainly.
No, that's not at all what I was saying. I was merely saying that perhaps as a result of being so practiced myself, the experience detracted was much diminished by the fact that I was not in perfect control of it.
And I find myself that in a partnership meditation, the foreign substances, they can become a fog between the two people.
Now, caller, have you experimented with meditating yourself?
Yes, I have. I find it great, but I mean, to me, it seems like with these substances, I could just get further into it.
So
I don't know any other way to explain it more than that.
And far be it from me to tell you how you should meditate or what will help your mind grow. But I think it is worthwhile to note that practiced meditators like Peacechild Peter and Dave here find that they have gotten further without.
And of course there are so many different ways to meditate. I once had a woman come to me for help. She had been partaking in cannabis in the inhalation form for many, many years, and her voice was very rough, and she wished to experience the vocal chant vibrations that I hold every week. And it was very difficult for her to be able to fall back into that, to heal her voice, so that she could join in again.
It had been damaged by the method.
It can also be done so. It can be damaged by alcohol, by milk, excessive milk.
Well, cannabis in particular is an expectorant, so it actually stimulates coughing. So that by itself, even if it is not inhaled with soot and tar, it can also damage the voice.
Yes, I've noticed this general effect with many of the potions I've researched, that there are certain things that while they could speed up your mind, speed up the spinning of your chakras, if you will, they can throw the chakras out of alignment at the same time.
So it's a give and take. It's sort of like a certain potion will give you some ability, like increased ability to think logically, let's say, but as a result, you will also be much more tired or generally in need of an extra hour's worth of sleep. So where you are more efficient at thinking, you have less time to do so.
Exactly, friend, exactly.
Well, and I believe it is an apt description to say altered state of mind.
I mean, to me, and I'm curious what your experiences have been with this, but there are periods of meditation where I feel that I have been reborn or refueled or recharged by the meditation, and there are other times when I feel that I have left something, that I have given part of myself to the meditation, and I'm curious if the rest of you have had similar experiences.
I believe that I have, in fact, but my interpretation was that in giving part of myself up, it was being accepted by the collective unconscious of humanity, and as such, I think that I was really sharing that me to everyone.
Meditation has to be give and take for it to be truly mind-altering and elevating to the soul. It cannot be a selfish endeavor.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
I believe there is even a transactional theory of psychology which deals with things on these terms.
Now, I'd like to make not a correction, but perhaps a distinction here, that there are some meditations that you're absolutely correct, that you need to reach outside of yourself and to become part of a greater whole. And there are other types where you reach within yourself. And one thing I prefer to do to slip into this is to touch the pads of my thumbs to each of the tips of my fingers in order, over and over again. And as you do this, as you concentrate on this motion, You can find yourself slipping deep within yourself to find yourself evoking memories and sensations and feelings that you may not remember.
Caller, can you tell us about your meditation?
I've practiced a nidra type of meditation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
A nidra?
Yes, nidra.
Can you tell us about it, please?
Body scan meditations, just going deep into yourself, I guess. But I find it, like I said, with the psilocybin mushrooms, I just go further into it. I see, like, I contact like a planetary intelligence almost. It's like I can talk to it. It's great.
Now, caller, you must be careful. You must remember that this conscious may or may not be true. It may not be actualized in the...
And if it is true,
my intuition
maybe
tells me that it's 100% authentic.
Well, even if that is the case, the danger could be that there is a malevolence behind the presence.
And in my mind, you know, I'm not sure how concerned it is necessary to be Aurora. I mean, even if it is simply a vision or an apparition.
It is not concern that I am expressing. It is just a reminder that what you are experiencing may or may not actually be real.
But what is the harm?
The harm is if you believe it is real and you keep on digging into it and believing in it.
I believe this takes us full circle to our discussion of dreams, perhaps,
this
illusion of reality that lies within us all. Now, caller, I have a question which is perhaps a bit personal, but how long have you been studying this meditation for?
Maybe 3 or 4 years. Not as long, you know, as you guys, but 4 years.
Well, no, that's a good time. You are certainly beyond the novice stage, I presume.
I mean, the idea of connecting to this intelligence, to this mass network, is a very appealing one.
Yes, of course I want it. I think that it's something that mankind has been blocked from for thousands of years. And for malevolent reasons.
Now let me remind everyone, a thought I had earlier in the show, that when we seek malevolence, when we seek negativity, then we find it. And yet today, I saw a woman drop her keys, and a man grab them and run up to her to return them. And this happens all the time.
It's true. And not just keys, papers, anything.
Credit cards.
Yes, a wallet, money.
And so we do strive to be kind to one another. We are part of this network. We stand up for the elderly on public transportation. We try not to defecate in the streets.
But sometimes we do fail.
In all of these things, indeed. But I think it is valuable to give proper weight to reality. It is easy to focus, I think Aurora is saying, on the negative.
It's true.
Well, I've never experienced anything negative on psychedelics ever. That's just my own opinion. I know some people have, but you know, you always learn something from them, and seems like, I don't know, it seems like you can
of course, caller, your personal meditation is your meditation first and foremost. There's no one else who could tell you how it can be done. All we can do is offer our suggestions. I believe the point that Aurora is trying to make is that don't rule out the power of more contemporary potions.
Mm-hmm. Of course not.
To me, a lot of the effect of these sorts of substances have to do with how one approaches them.
Oh, yeah.
But I certainly would not tell you to how to live your life.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, caller. Thank you for sharing your experiences
and
with us.
And of course, we appreciate all forms of interaction, and we are not here to tell you that you are right or wrong, because that does not exist. That is simply imagination.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us, caller.
Okay. All right. Peace. Thank you.
Masala.
Namaste.
Perhaps we shall meet on the meditation plane one day.
Au revoir.
I think we all should be there. I think it is an excellent place to be. And for our many listeners, it is worth knowing that we are there. We are waiting there in the meditative plane constantly, even though we are only on the air every Friday at 7. We have just a few minutes left. Any parting words from you, Peace Child Peter?
Well, just a few. I find it interesting that somehow we started off with us this idea of support and how we support each other, as Dave supports me, and we went all around and came upon Arthur mentioning building supporting one another, and then all the way back again until Aurora came and started talking about support again. I feel as though the universe is trying to tell us right now that maybe, who knows, maybe because of the moon or the stars, or just because this might be a day or a weekend or a week or a month in which maybe we should really just focus on supporting one another.
Really a beautiful thought. The idea of support, I think, is a great one. I imagine, instead of this image that I had at the beginning of the hour of building a structure on the ground, that we are all simply falling through life, and by attaching one to the other, we can form support, and in this way support one the other.
Until we fall into the ground together.
I think the ground hits us at different times. Sometimes the support that we have learned to rely on vanishes.
Oh, I'm very, very sorry.
But we continue to live.
No, I see the ground as the ultimate form of support. The end of your life and you are cradled by the earth.
Indeed, unable to fall.
Indeed, we should never forget how interaction with our fellow friends, our fellow human beings, that can indeed be one of the strongest potions in the universe.
I think music indeed is one of the very best channels for this communication between human beings, and that is the spirit of our communication to you, listeners.
Does this come to us from our family? Our feral family, or our spiritual family, or our mental family, our emotional family, our friends and family.
When we cut people into these categories, we exclude the rest of the universe.
I think that the support network in a way defines our family.
You must think in terms of the universal family always.
So we are all a single family.
Yes, indeed.
That is my word on it.
It is a simple but a very, once again, appealing view. Once again, time has stabbed me in the eye as I sit here and wish that the time would not end. We could continue to take our many callers that are waiting. So thank you to Erno
Thank you for having me, as always.
For joining us. And thanks to Dave, who has joined us tonight for the first time.
Thank you for having me, too.
Thanks also to Peace Child Beater.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
It's certainly good to have you back with us. And also thanks to Zorro for joining us.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you, listeners. I hope perhaps my dreams will be enlightened by you.
Finally, thanks to Aurora.
Namaste.
I am Addictor Janis Sakran here on Music for Human. Music for Human is New Age talk radio with an emphasis on you. Tune in every Friday at 7 p.m. Our apologies to the many callers we could not get to. Stay tuned for Hipster Happy Hour here on WMBR Cambridge. Ma'a salama.
For safety.
Number one,
cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two,
look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three,
cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four,
cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
Another edition of Hipster Happy Hour, bringing you the best in bands you've never heard of. This is your host, once again, Steve Meister J. I have a special show for you tonight, as always. This one has a theme that I'm actually sticking to. I have a bunch of singer-songwriters coming up for you tonight. Let's see who's on the list. Sufjan Stevens is on the list. Elliot Smith is on the list. Mountain Goats is on the list, which is basically a singer-songwriter. Things like that. And that's all coming up in the next hour of music for you. And let's kick it off with Sufjan Stevens, actually.